Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis. And if it's the top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing the live broadcast, and we want to hear from you. What's on your mind today? We'd like to hear from you right now at 844-322-2742. Whether the U.S. or Canada, that's a toll-free call, and the lines are open right now. 844-322-2742. Give us a call. It is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Most people that call in or write to us, they always have this question. I just don't know how to live out the Christian life. I just don't know how to do it. And I think that was what was happening in Galatia. And one of the reasons that Paul wrote this letter to the Galatians in chapter 3, we see some of the frustration Paul is having with the folks. And they're going about it all wrong. And Paul calls him on the carpet on that, and he says, "Oh, foolish Galatians." Now, that's a way to start a chapter, isn't it?
Or a fight.
That's not politically correct language. It's just not good language, but that's how he starts it. "Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" It's like they were cast under a spell or something. Somebody had come in and just taken all of the truth and reason and logic of the gospel and just took that out of the picture and just cast this spell over the Galatians, and they bought into it. And he says, "It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified." So the story has always been about Jesus and about his death, his crucifixion, his burial, his resurrection. That is the means for salvation. That is the story that saves. And that's the story that continues to save in our lives today. So we need to recognize that. So he says, "Let me ask you this one thing. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law, or by hearing with faith?" So did you merit this gift of salvation? Did you merit this gift of the Holy Spirit? Did you earn it? Did you do something through your obedience to the law that brought this about? Or was it a gift? Did you receive it by hearing with faith? You heard the message about Jesus, and you responded to that message by faith, and in so doing, you received the gift of the Spirit. So are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? In other words, are you depending upon your flesh to complete this work? In other words, Jesus did something, and that got the ball rolling, but now you need to do something through the flesh, through the energy of the flesh, to bring it to completion, to perfect it, to bring it to fulfillment. And he's saying, did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. So what Paul is saying here is that this salvation is by grace through faith from start to finish. It's not by grace through faith at the beginning. That's not just the door that gets you into this salvation, and then you have to perfect it, bring it to completion through works of the flesh. No, it is by grace through faith from start to finish. And that's where we fall down so often as believers today. We know that we're saved by grace through faith. We've all memorized or at least are familiar with what Paul wrote in Ephesians, that great passage. It is by grace through faith that we have been saved. It is not through works. It is a gift of God, lest anyone should boast. We're all familiar with that passage, and we will defend that passage when it comes to our salvation. But when it comes to living the Christian life, living it out day by day, moment by moment, oftentimes we're relying on the flesh to bring that to completion for us. And Paul is saying that is nothing but utter foolishness. Yeah. And I think we've all experienced that. We've all experienced that foolishness. It sounds like wisdom, that we need to be doing something through the flesh, It sounds like wisdom that we should do not taste, do not touch, do not handle. But all of that, it just fails miserably. Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle does not work. It just doesn't work.
Yeah.
And so for us to really experience this life to the full, we have to come to grips that it is by grace through faith in Jesus from start to finish. And when we do, man, everything changes. I mean, absolutely everything mm-hmm. changes.
Yeah.
We rest. We get excited. We're filled with hope. We're filled with expectation. And we start to see Christ doing stuff in our lives.
Yes, indeed. Well, friends, as you were listening, if you heard yourself and what Bob was talking about, if you're struggling with your Christian life and wondering why it's not working for you, well, to help you answer those questions, we've reduced the Kindle and all electronic versions of Bob's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, to only 99 cents. So there's no excuse for anyone not to have Simple Gospel, Simply Grace on your whatever device you choose. You can get your copy right now. It's very easy to order, and you'll have it within mere seconds. And here's how. Just visit basicgospel.net and then click the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace link. It's actually an icon. Just click that link at the top of the homepage, basicgospel.net, and that'll take you straight to the order page at amazon.com. And if you're serious about your Christian life and why it isn't working for you, you can't afford not to spend 99 cents to get your electronic copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Again, just click that link at basicgospel.net, and your copy will be on your chosen device in just a few seconds. And right now is a very good time to do it while you're thinking about it. Right now, also, it's a good time to call if you're hearing this broadcast in the first half of the 3 p.m. Central Time hour, 844-322-2742. Plenty of open lines, plenty of time on the clock. We want to hear from you, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to our phone lines and talk to Duran. Hi, Duran.
Hey, Duran.
Duran, you're on the air.
Hey, can y'all hear me?
Yes,
we
yes.
sure can. Okay, what's on your mind today?
I had a question about James 2:12, and it says that speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom. I think I got to kind of understand about the context, because the James, who he's talking to, is there. They say they believe in Jesus, but they're going back to the law. And James is basically saying that if you want to be justified by the law, then, you know, you'll be, maybe I can better explain it to me. I'm trying to see the meaning of it. What do y'all get out of that?
Well, Duran, that the context is all important, and he's talking about the sin of partiality, showing partiality to a certain group of people over and above another group of people. So he's saying, if, you know, a rich man in fine clothing comes in and you give him the best seat, and then somebody in poor shabby clothes comes in and you put him in the back, you're showing partiality. And that's not what the gospel is all about. That's not what Christ has come to bring about as far as our relationships go one with another. That partiality, that's a sin. And so what James is trying to get at is this. You say you believe the gospel. You say that you believe Jesus. You say these wonderful things with your lips. But do you really believe all this with your heart? Do you truly believe that anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord can be saved and will be saved? Do you believe that that's true for both Jew and Gentile? Do you believe that's both true for free and for slave? Do you believe that's both true for male and female? Do you believe that this gospel is available to anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord? Well, if you truly believe it, then you will recognize that anyone, regardless of socioeconomic status, regardless of ethnicity, regardless of culture, regardless of any of those things, stands shoulder to shoulder with you as a brother or sister in Christ, that y'all are equal in Him, that there's no hierarchy as far as the body of Christ is concerned. Do you really believe that? Well, if you really believe that, why are you showing partiality to a certain group of people over and above another group of people? So he's saying, hey, you're not extending mercy to people who need mercy. You're showing favoritism. And so he's saying you need to act as one who's going to be judged under the law of liberty. What is that law of liberty? Well, it's
law of faith.
That's exactly right. So that's what he's talking about here, Daron. And I think it's a very powerful passage, and is certainly relevant today. I mean, we show all kinds of favoritism to people, when we shouldn't. I mean, we have conferences out there, and you know, you pay a certain price and you can get in, and then if you pay another price, then you can be at the front of the room, and then if you pay another price, you can have a special dinner with the speaker. And that's how it goes today. And you look at it, and based on what James is saying, that's not a very good way of doing things.
Right. And you know, my I'm sorry. I got what you're saying. Is I had skipped that passage, but it was actually 2:13. You know, where he says, because judgment without mercy would be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. So that was my main question.
That's exactly right. And we see that through the Day of Atonement, and we see that at the cross of Jesus Christ, where mercy can be extended. Why? Because the mercy of God has triumphed over judgment. So the judgment for all of us was death, and Jesus took it at the cross, and in so doing, he now extends mercy to those who need mercy, and that's all of us. And so he's saying, hey, we need to be merciful in our relationships one with another, not judgmental, but merciful. And it's only Jesus Christ that's going to bring about that merciful heart in a person.
Oh, okay, I got you.
Does that make sense?
Yes. Thank you for that explanation.
You're welcome, Daron. Great to hear from you, as always.
Yes, indeed. Well, we have open lines. If it's the first half of the 3 o'clock hour, well, we would love to hear from you, 844-322-2742. In fact, that number is available 24 hours a day. If you can't get to us while we're actually on the air live, you can call that number, and we'll be glad to record your question and answer it on Basic Gospel, 844-322-2742. Well, guys, a question from Eddie, who writes to us from Georgia. Once we've been baptized by the Holy Spirit, can we lose our salvation?
No.
Okay, moving right along here.
No, because being baptized by the Holy Spirit is one receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit, being made alive together with Christ, and then being added to the body of Christ. That's all part of this spiritual baptism.
Yes.
So we're baptized into the death of Christ, we're buried with Christ, and then we're raised to walk in the newness of life as fully alive children of God. Mm-hmm. So that's the spiritual baptism. And what guarantees this as an eternal transaction is the cross of Jesus Christ. That's the place where he took away sin. That's the place where he brought to an end that old covenant and fulfilled it.
Yes.
So he didn't abolish it. He fulfilled it. Why? The wages of sin is death. Jesus died. So he fulfilled it. And his death was sufficient for all people. And then he was raised back to life 3 days later. And when we receive him, we receive his indestructible life.
Yeah.
He has become our very lives. And so when we're saved forever. We live because he lives. The only way that we could lose our salvation is if Jesus died. Well, he's not going to die again.
Not going
to
do it.
Not going to do it. So we just need to realize that. So once we've been added to the body, once we've been, spiritually baptized into Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, that is an eternal transaction.
Absolutely.
Richard?
Yeah, I like to get into questions like this as deeply as possible on a yes or no basis. It's binary. If I, in the spirit, can lose my salvation, that means Jesus failed, period. Well, if Jesus failed, there's no salvation for anyone.
Right.
Well, Jesus didn't fail, and he's not going to have to come back and do any of this work again. So let's stop asking that question, because he is successful. In him, I am safe. Period.
Absolutely. Period. End of story, period. Bob Christopher says. Well, it is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis. And it's the most often asked question we get here at Basic Gospel. How can I know that my sins are forgiven? And that's the reason that we're offering this excellent booklet called Forgiveness, the Door to Life. It answers that question loud and clear. Forgiveness is found at the cross of Jesus Christ. And coming to understand what he did for us there at that cross will change your life forever. But until you rest in his finished work, the finished work of Christ, you will never experience the abundance of his life in you. Because we want to help you and everyone understand this vital truth, Basic Gospel is offering this excellent booklet, Forgiveness, the Door to Life, absolutely free. And for your copy, just go online to basicgospel.net. You'll see the link. It'll be one of the first things that you see right there at basicgospel.net. The book is absolutely free, Forgiveness, the Door to Life. We would love for you to have a copy.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to our phone lines again and talk with Garrett, listening to us in Garland, Texas on K-Word. Hi, Garrett. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Hey, how are you guys? All right. So I just got done, or almost done, reading The Parables of Christ by James Montgomery Boyce. And it redefines the way that I look at my own sin in my life. You know, when you're a babe in Christ, everything's fun. Everything is new. And you're realizing slowly but surely, without question, the changes that you are now determined to make through, you know, the word of Christ. You know what the truth is now. It's real. It's a lot easier to live life with the truth than it is in the darkness. So what I feel like I'm being called to the ministry, and I believe that I am. But my biggest issue that I have is I feel a reservation in trying to identify someone else's sin. I have a reservation trying to identify my own sin sometimes. But what I have a very easy task is identifying my iniquity. My iniquity is the times that I decide to walk away from God. So as someone that wants to minister and wants to talk to and is probably over talking in some instances to the people that he's sharing the gospel with, how do I not approach their sin? I can't forgive their sin. I can't identify their sin in my mind. But I can talk about that iniquity. Do y'all have thoughts on that? I'm trying to buy your book also, but I'm having a difficult time doing it while I'm driving, so I'm probably going to pull over.
That's a good idea.
That's a good idea. That would be a form of iniquity right there.
Yeah.
As soon as I God was talking to me the entire drive. So I the moment I turned it on and y'all said, buy the book, I just went ahead and started searching.
Excellent.
I'll let y'all talk.
You'll enjoy it.
Y'all's experience, listen.
Well, Garrett, here's what I would say to you. You believe you want to be in the ministry. You believe you're being called.
Well, I believe I'm in it. Yes.
Okay.
I believe I'm part of it now.
Okay.
Right.
Well, two things that I want you to understand about being involved in ministry, and they're basically biblical mandates for every right. child of God. But if you're going to be in a vocational position, then you really need to pay attention to these. And both of them come out of the book of 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul wrote this, and it's verse 6. It's a very, very important verse, and it reads this way. So Paul is defending his apostleship, and he says that God, who has made us competent to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the spirit. For the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. So if we're going to be involved in Christian ministry, then we're called to be ministers of a new covenant. Now, in this new covenant, the sacrifice for sin has been made once for all by Jesus Christ. He shed his blood. So the condemnation toward sin was dealt out in Jesus. He's already condemned sin in sinful man, and he wants to give us life. So the issue when you're evangelizing, for example, is not somebody's sin, if say adultery or something like that, but it's the fact that they're spiritually dead, that they don't have life. Yeah. And what the gospel does is it ministers life. Jesus Christ said time and time again, I've come that they might have life and have it abundantly. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So as a minister of the gospel, you're a minister of the new covenant, which means you're a minister of life. You are coming to deliver Jesus, the life, to people. The second thing, go ahead.
Just real quick in that question, I had a question. The word association, I'm 33 years old, right? I've Googled every word and I've tried to understand each word because I think there is a disconnect there. When I just got done witnessing to two people that I was given a ride somewhere, right? For example, and I've shared my testimony without trying to address theirs, but I feel like I'm leaving them wanting, like but I don't want to identify their sin. I don't want to tell them. Does that make sense? Do you see where I'm struggling here?
Well, I think what you can do is do what the Holy Spirit does. You know, God sent the Spirit out into the world to convict the world wrong about sin, righteousness, and judgment, about sin because people do not believe in Jesus. So
that's the issue.
So we get down to this second thing that we're mandated to do. We're mandated to be ministers of reconciliation. Now, in that ministry, we have the privilege of going to people and telling them that God is not counting their sins, S-I-N-S, against them.
Right.
Why is that the case? Because Jesus has reconciled them unto God the Father through his shed blood on the cross. And so we can implore as ambassadors of Christ for people to be reconciled to God, to receive that reconciliation.
I got you.
Does that make sense?
That's a lot of gaps. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay, so essentially, it's the lack of belief rather than the sin itself or needing them to identify what is wrong in their life. It's the lack of belief, the lack of conviction to believe.
Well, what's really wrong in their life, if they're lost, is that they haven't believed in Jesus. And that they're dead spiritually. That's what's really wrong. That's
because
the root.
Once he's there, he starts making the changes himself.
Absolutely.
Gotcha. All right. Well, I appreciate it, guys. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Great question.
I think that's wonderful counsel for anyone considering the ministry, or if you're simply a layman and you want to share your testimony outside of your home and in your home, as a matter of fact, anywhere. I think that's a great admonition, Bob, and thank you for sharing that with Garrett. Well, friends, if you're wondering why your Christian life is anything but abundant, this is your opportunity to learn what's going on, and you can do that out of Bob Christopher's own experiences as he relates in his book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Now, until Tuesday, the 23rd, you can have an electronic copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace for only 99 cents. Now, to order yours and have it on the device of your choice in mere seconds, all you need to do is visit basicgospel.net and click that link right at the top of the page, the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace link, or the icon, either one. It's at the top of the page at basicgospel.net. It's easy, and yes, it's only 99 cents until the 23rd. So don't miss this. At 99 cents, everybody should have a copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Well, friends, remember, too, that if you have a question between now and our next broadcast, use our 24-hour listener line. That's 844-322-2742 to record your question, and we'll talk about it on the air. That's 844-322-2742, or drop an email to bob@basicgospel.net. Well, thanks for being with us today, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer, and all the ministry team at Basic Gospel, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to join us again tomorrow as we continue in our study on 1 John. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.